98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app.
And on your computer.
98.5thesportshub.com.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh. Oh, hey, oh, oh, hey, oh, oh. All right, 98.5 Sports Up is Toucher and Rich. We got Dan in studio. All right, so this is what I thought. And I'm starting to get a bunch of people who are tweeting me this as well. So when I was at Caesars this past week, and I was going to put some money on the Bruins and the Celtics to win the championships. And the Bruins, it was like 5-1 odds. So I was like, I'm not even going to bet on that. So, but the Celtics, there was, the sheet that you get. If you've ever been to a sports book before, if you're looking to bet on futures, if you go up to the front, there's all these different sheets for each different sport where you pull it out, and it has all the different odds written down as to who's going to win the championship and what the odds are. And so I was scrolling through trying to find the Boston Celtics, and I couldn't find it anywhere on there. And at the very bottom, it said, wagers on the Boston Celtics are not being accepted. If the Celtics win the pro basketball championship, the team playing them will be recognized as the team with the best finish and will be considered the winner for wagering purposes. Okay, so Wallach said that he thought it was because of Kyrie Irving's injury, but I've seen many times before star players get injured or there's been questions about their injury and they just either change the betting or they sometimes put it off. They put like an off where you right. just, you can't temporarily bet on them, but they don't say they don't accept it. The only time I've ever seen a team where you couldn't bet on them was I remember the Palms wouldn't take any bets on the Sacramento Kings because the Maloof brothers
owned
the Kings and they had a stake in Palms. And now I'm starting to get some things here. Okay, let me see. Steve. Steve, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hi, how you doing? Hey. I'm calling from Quincy. Yeah, you know what? I guess the Celtic owner, he owns a stake in the Caesars Entertainment.
Well, then there's your problem. Then that's it. Then it's just like the Maloofs then. Okay, all right. Then
So it's Wick?
I don't realize that, but I mean, if ownership has any kind of connection with any of the casinos,
off the board.
You can't bet on them, which is fairly strange. I thought I'd bet on the Celtics before at Caesars. I don't know if that's a new thing that he just bought into.
Maybe you were Mandalay Bay, something like that.
Maybe, because I know Caesars owns like a bunch of different casinos. It's like 7 or 8 ones that are out there, and which, by the way, for $49.99, you can have an all-day buffet pass, which goes to all of
really?
Them. Yeah, oh yeah.
How about that?
It's amazing. Wow. If you just want to just gorge yourself. Oh my God. Vegas is...
How'd you do in Vegas?
We'll get to some of that in a little bit, but jeez, man, my stomach and my face and everything. I will get it. Okay. All right. So I don't know how hard he lived out there. Like, I mean, that's... And Gosher...
Gosher must have gained at least 30 pounds.
No, it's
now.
Not just that. It's a weird lifestyle to live out in Vegas. It's effing weird.
But if you live off the strip and you live in a nice community.
No, it's weird.
All right.
It's weird. We'll get into it.
According to Gosher, he lives far enough away. You know?
I guess so. Okay, so here's the deal. With the health of this team, this Celtics team, and what's been going on for a while, we now know that Daniel Theis is out for the season. That's a big deal. Like, I mean, he was playing excellent basketball before he got injured.
Outstanding fine by Ainge.
And then you've got Marcus Smart. The problem with his hand, looks like he'll more than likely be back for the playoffs. You bowled with him the other day, right?
Yes.
He didn't actually bowl, though, I think.
No. Big old cast big on that hand.
No.
So, like, did he, like, come up to you and say, oh, you're that nerd on the radio?
Not in so many words.
The one who wants the Bruins to lose?
No. Bowled with him Monday. Yep.
Okay. How'd that go? Did you get to talk to him at all?
I talked to him a little bit. Yeah, he's pissed. They're on their way. They're playing really good basketball, and now he can't play. He's not happy about any of this.
So what's been going on has been strange. You got Jaylen Brown, who's dealing with concussions, but it's a good sign that he was sitting on the bench for that Thunder win. Obviously, if he can handle all the screaming and yelling and all the lights, that's a nice step towards the right direction. But Kyrie Irving, this has been strange. He is not going to be traveling with the team because he's going to get a second opinion. And now we get this nugget from Chris Broussard yesterday.
There is some sentiment. Whoa. Within the Celtics organization.
Hey, real quick. Whoa. Like, all
it's
he
the
says.
The play-by-play guy.
He hasn't even said what he's going to. Right. It's Kevin McHale and all of his buddies. He hasn't even said what's going to happen. All the people are like, don't go there. You don't even know where he's going.
There is some sentiment within the Celtics organization.
Oh, let me hear this.
No, this is just that.
She's keeping it in your pants. Is that Cowherd? Oh, let me hear this. Oh, my goodness.
There is some sentiment Within the Celtics organization.
Oh, let me hear this.
No, this isn't just that. This, let's see what happens with the second opinion, but that possibly, not this is far from definite. I don't want to sound the alarm, but possibly this could put his season in jeopardy.
Oh!
And let me say this. If that's the case, then Danny Ainge is looking more at, you know what, we'll rest him now. Don't push him through this season just to have him play in the playoffs when the knee's not really right. Let's get him healthy, and then he and Hayward come back next season.
That is the biggest pile of nothing. And it's being sold as that Chris Broussard had this breaking news.
Right.
Did you hear how he hedged his bet going into that? Now, listen, this may be something, but it might not be something. I'm not saying that I've heard
but he may.
That this is actually going to happen, but it might. And they're like, oh, they got their pants down. They're covering themselves in peanut butter. We're going to be everywhere. And now that I hear that, I'm like, that's literally nothing right there. But there is a sentiment that ever since he injured his knee, it's been bothering him. What, with 2015?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
2015.
This has been bugging him for a while, and I know he's got some bolts and stuff in there, and he might want to get him taken out. And this is a surgery that Danny knew about when they made the trade. He would still make the trade 1,000 times out of 1,000 because of this. But it's also a surgery that can be done in the off season and can be, what, 4 months, I'm hearing, is like the longest it would take to recover from the bolt removal and to make sure that he doesn't get back too early and he hurts it. 4 months is what I've heard. So it's almost a perfect off season surgery. However, if this is something that they believe can exasperate and could make the injury worse if he continues to play on it, do you get him surgery, keep him, get him healthy, and just kind of write off the playoffs this year?
With all the injuries on this team, can you beat Toronto and then go to the finals and beat anybody from the Western Conference?
With Kyrie Irving, I think you have a chance.
With Kyrie Irving at 80% or 70%.
Yeah, you have a chance.
You do.
Yeah,
you really, you think you have a chance
with
the bench players missing and you don't know what you're going to get out of Marcus Smart and you don't have Gordon Hayward and all of this. You still think they can go and beat Toronto with home court advantage after struggling through a series with Cleveland,
They have a chance. I think they have a chance. Now, there's a lot of things that would have to line up as well, and you got to get the health. I mean, obviously, Jalen Rose going back. I think Marcus Smart's way more important to this team than most people are giving him credit for.
You're talking to the original fan over here.
Right. He's the Draymond Green freak factor that this team needs. The guy who's willing to go a little bit beyond what is legal and scares guys when he's playing defense. And
honestly, I think the Celtics will err on the side of caution in this one. I think they realize they have a much better shot next year with a fully healthy Kyrie Irving, a fully healthy Gordon Hayward, and everybody on that bench coming back.
Hashtag Wallach wants the Celtics to lose.
That's actually an excellent point. He wants the Celtics to lose as well.
He's just not a fan of any team right now.
You are just Mr. Hot Take and Trillion.
Man, am I screwed today, I'll tell you.
It's like you never left EEI.
Yeah. But don't you think it's
when's Fred coming back? When does that happen? When does Fred touch you back from vacation?
Don't you think?
Don't
though,
you have a place to go in El Paso in the middle of nowhere?
Trust me, I've already been there long enough.
Don't you think this
I've
is
changed?
A pretty simple one, right? Don't you think you get as many opinions from doctors as you can get, and then you put it on Kyrie and say, Kyrie, it depends on how you feel. If we're not gonna do any more damage to it, and you can withstand the pain, and it's going to be fine. But if there's a risk of doing more damage to it, then with all that's gone on with this season and what John is saying, then why? You know what I mean? It's just, I think it's all in the doctors to kind of tell you and guide you as to what can be done and not be done. If he can go out there and play and not hurt it anymore, go.
All right, well, Brad Stevens after the game kind of had this to say.
He's going to get a second opinion. That's why he probably won't go on the trail. So, and again, I think that's smart of him, but I haven't talked to him yet since that decision was made, and I haven't talked to Danny or our staff about it. It's not new pain, it's continued soreness.
By the way, did I say that he exasperated it?
Yes, you did.
I can't even use my words correctly.
By the way, considering the attack I just got, I just left that alone. I just want you to know.
No, call me out on that. That's a
I
bad word to use.
I just left exasperated alone.
Well,
that's fine.
Listen, you know, I'm the kind of guy I am, and that's the kind of guy you are.
That's fine.
I know words.
I'm just glad the public is able to see this.
Yes, I look out for you. I call you out in public. That way you never do it again.
Right.
Look like a jackass.
Exactly.
You left me hanging to kind of sit there and use that word again. See, that's the kind of friend I am.
I see.
All right. Hashtag Wallach wants the Celtics to lose as well, as a matter of fact. But if they shut down Kyrie Irving and they do the surgery, I'm not going to be crushed. I mean, I don't have any kind of delusions of grandeur that they are going to win a championship this year. I mean, with Gordon Hayward, they would have a shot. They don't have Gordon Hayward. I thought that they would have had, it would have been an interesting final series. I think that they had a chance to make it to the finals without Gordon Hayward. I thought that Brad Stevens was good enough. Kyrie Irving's the closer that he needed, and I thought that they would have a chance. It's not looking as good right now. I'm not... Put it this way. I want to see what Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum will do in the playoffs. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see how Jaylen will grow from last year and how Jason Tatum will actually be able to perform under the spotlight that he's been given.
I don't know how you feel about this, Dan, but we were talking about this yesterday. The rest of the season, to me, is watching what Jason Tatum can do. The evolution of Jason Tatum's game. And I, too, am very curious to see the kind of damage he can do in the playoffs. I watch him now because he's now the main focus of the offense with Kyrie off the floor. He had 23 points and 11 rebounds, his first 2010 game of his pro career. And to see his offensive game evolve, we knew he was a good three-point shooter. We know he can get to the rim for layups, but now he's got the pull-up jumper. He's adding to his offensive repertoire as time goes on. And to see what this kid's going to be able to do, not only in the playoffs this year, but when everyone's back healthy next year, I mean, this is something to really get excited
and
about.
No run can be bad for the Celtics team. No matter, with Kyrie, without Kyrie, no run in the playoffs can be bad for the Celtics team.
I'll be a little pissed if Kyrie's playing and they get bounced in like the first or second round.
Saying that, Rich, but I'm saying from the sense of Tatum, Brown, the sense of growth and development. That's what you want out of this team right now, is you want them to get their feet wet as a group, because it's a new group on the floor. You want this group to get their feet wet in playoff mode. You want them to see how they respond, how Tatum responds, how Brown does the second year, how Kyrie mixes in if he plays. Those are the kind of things that you want, so that when Hayward is ready next year, then those guys have that more experience and they're ready to go on that, because that's ultimately, you want to win everything and you want to be able to play with the Golden States of the world.
Dan, what's the deal with Danny Ainge? He can't make it today. He usually comes on with us on Thursdays.
Danny's usually on with us Thursdays at 9. He just said he was unavailable today and it will return next week.
Okay. So we cannot reschedule for tomorrow then.
He heard Wallach.
He does not like the fact that Wallach wants to
he just called. Just
lose. All right. Well, we'll see what we can do with that. There's a lot to talk to Danny about, so maybe we'll do that soon.
Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny.
Tucker and Rich.
You're on a roll. I am busting a gut. Stop.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marchand had it, lost it. Petrangelo tries the middle, hits the ref, fired out in front. They score! How about Ryan Donato on the road for his first game, and he paddles in a power play goal, and the Bruins out to a 1-0 lead.
Surratt, you've grown on me. Judd Surratt getting better as the season goes on. He was probably good at the beginning. It was probably just us that had to get used to it.
Tough shoes to fill.
Yeah, Gosher's. I was out in Gosher's territory, and I was thinking about, there was a Golden Knights game when I was out there.
Why don't you get in contact with them?
I was there with the kids. Doing Vegas with kids is weird. Like, I mean, we were only supposed to be there one day, but I kind of got sick of the place I was before that, and I kind of wanted to go to Vegas.
Oddly enough, you were in the middle of nowhere and got sick of it? Really?
I'd been in the middle of nowhere for like 11 straight days, so I'm like, all right, I need to go someplace that has a toilet that flushes. So we ended up getting to Vegas a day early, and I was thinking about going to a Golden Knights game, and I'm like, you understand, puck drops at 7:30 out there. That's 10:30 local time here, and Vegas with kids is weird. You see things a completely different way. We'll get into some of this later.
You can shoot guns like last time, huh? You left that alone?
No, I did not do that. I did not go to the firing range. But we do have on with us a guy who has been covering this team, obviously, since the beginning when they were 25-1 odds. And now out in Vegas, they're 5-1 odds. I bet that was odds that were so low that I didn't even put money on them. Mr. Joe Haggerty. Joe, good morning, sir.
What's happening, Rich? Too bad it wasn't an earlier game, Golden Knights-wise. That would have been a perfect place to take the kids. They have this weird, like, drum corps that sits up in the balcony on one side, and they're all dressed up in this like lighted costumes. It looks like some like kind of alien drum corps out of Star Wars. You would have dug it in a pretty big way.
You know what's weird though, that they have a new arena out there, the T-Mobile Arena. I don't like new basketball hockey arenas. Like, they're all sterile. Like, remember we went out to the one in Brooklyn that they had just opened up?
Oh, God. They had a DJ booth.
That was the worst. I mean, that was a basketball arena that shouldn't even have hockey games.
Yeah, yeah. That's the worst. It was like the quietest place. It wasn't the crowd. It was the way they designed it.
Yeah.
And it's like this like open, I saw the UFC fight out there, the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas last year. And even for like a UFC fight, it was like kind of quiet and subdued. Like they're doing it all wrong. You almost need like rickety seats where the sound echoes out and it's loud and it's obnoxious. It just didn't feel like, I felt like more like I was going to like a very nice performance of Cirque du Soleil instead of an actual UFC fight. It was odd, but I'm not a huge fan of the arena. But
it's definitely sterile in terms of it doesn't have a lot of personality. But between the weird like Star Wars cantina alien lighted drum corps, and between the comedy video that Ghost does before the game starts, where he's not wearing any pants in the video, really just for those two reasons alone, you should have gone to the game. I'm telling you right now.
Sure, I'll do anything you want Peter, to like me. Take my pants off. I don't care. I'll come to work. I'll just leave my integrity at the door. No, we love culture. So this is we were talking about the Bruins team, and they clinched a spot in the playoffs last night, and it is kind of funny how even with a backup goaltender who was very good last night and, eight missing players and most of them are
seven, yes.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous. Even then, you almost thought that they had a way to win last night. And they just, Donato has been a stud since he's shown up. And if this team just has something that after playing Tampa Bay the other night and blanking them 3-0, you just got to look at this team and think that right now they have what it takes to win the Stanley Cup, don't you?
Yeah, and I mean, go back a little bit further in that road trip, Carolina. They're down by 3 goals in the third period, and they explode for 5 goals in the third. They hit on everything they got at the trade deadline. Those guys have come in and been extremely good. They're rookies that they counted on at the beginning of the year to be good for them, been extremely good. They've continued to come back in games when they've been down, and you've kind of counted them out all season. Some of their best players are having extremely good years. When you look at everything that we've seen with this Bruins team from beginning to end this year, the character, the talent, the fact they've been the best and most dominant team in the NHL for the last 4 months, and I said this last night in an early edition, there is an aura of greatness with this Bruins team, and not in the sense of greatness in like they're a dynasty and they've been fantastic forever. Greatness in the sense that they are capable of doing something great this year. And I think we've seen evidence of it all year long from beginning to end, that there's something exceptional and something special with this Bruins team. It's crept up on us because it was a surprise. We weren't expecting this at the beginning of the year. But I think we've seen enough evidence this season from this team that they're going to need a little bit of luck, as any team does. They're going to need good health, which you're expecting most of these players to be back by the time the playoffs start. But if you get those things, this team is fully capable of going on a run and winning Stanley Cup, but I think you've seen it all year long with everything that they've done.
All right, so just because they're so secretive in the NHL with these injuries, and you really don't know how serious things are for the most part, when you look at the list, Torrey Krug, Zdeno Chara, Rick Nash, Patrice Bergeron, Charlie McAvoy, Backes, DeBrusk, out of all of those guys right there, which ones are you most worried about as far as being ready for the playoffs?
Jake DeBrusk is one that I'm worried about because you don't rehear any timetables whatsoever, and it seems like he's a fair distance away from coming back, and that might have been part of the reason, too, why they really sort of pushed and rushed to get Donato in the lineup to see what he could do in case it's a while before DeBrusk comes back. You wanted to have another player that could step in and potentially be a left wing with David Krejci, so... I think he's a guy you have to be a little bit concerned about at this point. At least to start, I think McAvoy may not, his goal was to be back with a couple of games to go in the regular season and get in, but I think the window for his recovery was more like 4 to 6 weeks rather than, 4 weeks is it being on the optimistic side, and that would put him right around when the playoffs start or, right before it, so... His injury maybe could spill over into the playoffs, and I don't know, expecting to miss the whole first round, but there's a potential there. You might miss a game or two, but aside from them, and we're still long-range forecasting out, obviously. There's a long way to go and a long time to heal for all these guys, and they could all be ready by the time the playoffs start. Certainly, that's well within possibility, but I would say those two might be the ones I'm most concerned about. I think the rest of the players, they're going to take their time and let them heal and get to 100%. Bergeron's already skating. I think, some guys were potentially in consideration to go on the road trip. And that means I think they'll see some of those players come back before the season's out. And you know, as long as they're healthy, getting some rest for older veteran players where they're not taking the banging here at the end and the physicality and the hits before the playoffs start, it's far from the worst thing in the world.
Hey, Higgs, with Ryan Donato, you know, we've seen the two goals in two games. He got a nice break last night, was there. The puck always seems to find him. But I thought Don Sweeney's comments about him before he even played a game in a Bruins uniform were like, no, this guy's not going to Providence. This guy's a legit guy that can help us right now. We're pretty strong. What you've seen from Donato, what you see how he carries himself and what his new teammates think of him, what's it been like to be around him?
Yeah, it's fun. Donato is a good kid. And, you know, he's a chip off the old block with his dad, Ted, who I covered his last year in the NHL, which was Bergeron's rookie year with the Bruins, and got to know him then and have known him. He got to know him a little bit throughout the years as he's been around and coached Harvard and everything else. And you know, Teddy's salt of the earth, a good Boston guy. And Ryan's very much the same way. And, you know, I think he's modest. I think he loves the game, and he brings an energy and an enthusiasm to it that, you know, people really love. And you know, everybody loves the local story as well. But the fact that he has all these intangibles and he's, you know, a real nice kid to be around, and he can play. And, you know, he's you could see it at development camp last summer that he and Anders Bjork were head and shoulders above everybody else at that development camp. And he was ready to turn pro last summer. And I think he wanted to go to the Olympics, and he knew that the NHL players probably weren't going to go, and it was going to be a unique opportunity for him to do something he might never get to do again. And his younger brother, Jack, was in his freshman year at Harvard playing on the hockey team as well. And it was also a unique opportunity to play with his younger brother at Harvard for a year. I think those were the things that brought him back, even though he knew, you know, he was good enough to turn pro that year and maybe even be a factor for the Bruins. But he went back for some really good reasons, some really good personal reasons, and now, you know, he turns pro, and immediately he's a factor, and he's got the laser one-timer from the face-off side. He's got the ability, even though he's not the biggest and strongest guy, to go to the front of the net, go to the dirty areas, to do the things that you need to do in order to score goals. And he's an incredibly smart kid on the ice. He's got that hockey IQ that, you know, tons of NHL players have that you really can't teach. He's just been around the game his entire life. That he brings an awful lot on and off the ice. I mean, you don't want to get too carried away because he's 21 and he's only playing his second NHL game. And he did get pretty hit pretty hard in that game last night. The Blues were extremely physical with the Bruins, and he was a little quiet after that. And those are the kind of things I'm looking for as we go on here, is his ability to withstand the physicality, his ability to stay consistent. You know, once the adrenaline wears off, he'll be as effective as he is right now. But so far, so good. I mean, you know, two goals in two games, you can't get any better than that. And it's a great story about a great family in Boston, a great hockey family.
Joe, one question about Tuukka Rask here. Ever since the Bruins went west to play Calgary on that road trip, he hasn't been as good as he was during the middle portion of the season. He struggled a little bit. Should Bruins fans be worried about this?
Well, I think if there is one factor and one thing that would keep the Bruins from reaching their ultimate playoff potential, it would be the goaltending. And, you know, Tuukka has a lot to prove. He does have to finish up strong. I mean, he does have to have a good performance in the playoffs. He does have to step up when they need him to step up. And this is a big year for him. You know, there are no excuses anymore for him. He's been healthy. Anton Hudobin, once again last night, was outstanding, even though they lost. And he was blaming himself for both of the goals after the game. But he's given Rask everything he would possibly need from his understudy to give him the rest that he needs to stay fresh and 100% down the stretch into the playoffs and be at his best. And that was the big focus this year. What they hadn't been able to do in the past is give him enough rest. So, you know, there are no excuses for him. He should be able to step up and be the number one goalie that everybody expects him to be and be the elite goaltender that gets paid $7 million a year here. And it's up to him to play that way. Now, right now, certainly it's a challenge because they're missing right now their top three defensemen with Krug, Chara, and McAvoy out. And I think with all those players missing, so many good defensive players, they've had a hard time keeping the puck out of the net and keeping offensive chances from happening in their D zone. So, you know, he gets maybe a little bit of a pass here, but, you know, once they get healthy, he needs to be the Tuukka Rask that he can be at his best. Otherwise, you know, if they don't reach their potential, I think he's going to be the guy that's potentially looked at as part of the problem. Now, I've said this over the last few weeks. I didn't think the Bruins were going to be able to win with Tuukka Rask as their goaltender. But this team has been so good and so dominant, I think they can win with a good but not great Tuukka Rask, a less than stellar Tuukka Rask. But it remains to be seen if that's actually going to be the case once we get to the postseason.
All right, Joe Haggerty, Mr. Star Wars, are you worried about this new Solo movie?
You know what I'm worried about, Rich, is the trailer that I saw, the Han Solo that I saw, the actor playing, was not that charismatic, was not that interesting, was kind of like head-scratching in what I saw. It didn't really seem all that Han Solo-ish to me.
They apparently had to teach him how to act, and I'm not making that up. I guess that the first directors, when they got him, he was so bad that they had to bring in an acting coach to teach him how to act, the guy that cast as Han Solo.
Oh, that's concerning.
And the problem is that you've got Woody Harrelson and Donald Glover in this movie, and those both are charismatic, roguish dudes that give off that Han Solo vibe, and I think they're going to out Han Solo in his own movie. And that's not good if that's happening.
Yeah. They had two directors that they fired because they didn't like the direction it was going in, and they brought in Ron Howard to clean up the mess. That always makes for a good film when you have like an inconsistent message. And how you can mess up an effing Han Solo movie? Now I'm getting to my nerd talk here. How you can mess up a movie about one of the greatest characters in movie history?
They brought in the directors of the Lego movie.
Lego Movie was legit. I don't want to hear any crap talked about the Lego Movie. Lego Movie was legit.
I like the Lego Movie. Yeah,
everything is awesome.
Movie. Come on, I've heard enough of that song. Even though I know that's your, you know, motto in life.
I'm playing that coming back out of the break.
I get that. But
can we play that?
Isn't the Lego guy this? No, we're not going to play that.
Are
those the same director who did the 21 Jump Street movies? Because those were funny as hell too.
But that's what I mean. They were shocked that it turned into this madcap screwball comedy when they brought in the guys that did 21 Jump Street and the Lego Movie. What the hell were you expecting?
Yeah, those are two movies that are way better than they should have been. A Lego Movie and a 21 Jump Street remake are like great, are like really good movies, and they really should have sucked on paper. All right, well, thank you. Thanks for nerding out with me for a moment there, Joe Haggerty. I appreciate it. I will talk to you later.
Anytime. Always a pleasure.
See you, man. All right, 617-779-0985. John Wallach's headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Thatcher and Rich. And we have Dan Roach in studio, who is fresh back from Disney. You went out to your happy place, huh?
Yeah, I did.
All right.
It was wonderful.
Did you go with the family or you went by yourself?
My daughter played down. Her Babson softball team played 6 games down in Florida, just outside Orlando, and they give the girls one day off.
Mm-hmm.
So picked my daughter up at 7 a.m. On the off day. It was me and my wife, and we went to, just the Magic Kingdom, established what we needed to do, got it done, went on Splash Mountain. I'm in line at Splash Mountain, didn't have a fast pass. And just randomly, one of the workers came up to my daughter and I and said, "Hey, you guys want to jump to the front of the line?" We jumped. They put us from the front of the line, went right through. And
they said, "Because you're Dan Roach, number one biggest fan."
That was awesome. Yeah. And we did that, and then we went, all different rides and went over to Epcot, did Soarin', did Test Track.
Have you ever cried at Disney?
No. Yeah. How can you cry on it's a happy
Liar.
Place on
no,
Earth?
I mean, cried with happiness. because a guy we used to work with, Crash, he one time rode Soarin' and said it was so beautiful that he started crying.
I love Soarin', and they updated it to include the world now, so it's great.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well,
exactly?
Soarin' is this ride. You go in, and you kind of go up to the top, and it's all coming at you. So you're soaring over the heights of different things.
Okay.
And it used to be just California and up and down the coast. You'd go over the water, and you'd dip down in, and then you would go over the orange groves.
Yeah.
Can you smell the oranges?
They shoot it at you. So now they do the whole world. You ride all over the place. You go to Paris, the Eiffel Tower. You go up and over and everything else. It's like being on a hand glider.
Wow.
And it's really well done. Very cool. I love Test Track, though, because you go out on the speedway outside, and you go about 70, 80, 90 miles an hour around the hairpin turns and
stuff.
You're
the guy that enjoys Epcot.
It's gotten better, though. We went to the new Frozen attraction, too. That was in Norway.
You rode the Frozen ride?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
All right. The only thing that hurts is in June, Toy Story Land opens out there, and I'll have to get that next year when we're out there. So, but it's a great day.
You're not going to wait till next year. You know it. You know you're going to book that trip as soon as it opens.
I don't know. I might be the last.
When is it open?
When's it open?
All right. I'm going to be there in August.
Oh, so you get to go. I need a preview.
Yeah. Just see it. Yes.
Yes, it's Marshall
Report. I will.
Marshall Hook on 98.5 Sports Hub.
He's at it again!
Inconceivable!
That's the best.
Wow. Well, you were out at Disney. I went out west, and for about 10 days before we ended up coming back from Vegas, we're in the middle of nowhere, and I've told you about that place that I go to in the middle of West Texas called Marfa. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. What do you do? Well, you have to fly into El Paso, and then you have to drive 3 hours towards the Mexican border. Like, I mean, when I say West Texas, wow. I mean, you're way down. There's nothing on the way there except for randomly this Prada store that never opens in the middle of a field that lights up that some weird German artist showed up about like 15 years ago and made.
Okay.
And then it never opens, never closes, but it's in the middle of a field. First time that my wife and I drove out to Marfa, it was in the middle of the night and it was before smartphones. Ooh. And we saw this one, and you could see for miles when you're driving down the highway, you can see 20 miles away. We saw this one tiny little light and we didn't see a car pass us the entire time we're on this road. We're like, what the hell is this thing? And as we get closer, we pull up, and right there is a Prada store in the middle of an effing field.
Really?
We haven't seen anything for 20 miles, and past it, it looks like there's absolutely nothing. And I'm not kidding you. It was one of those times where I thought I had been drugged. I thought somebody put something in my drink, and I had to tell my wife, are you seeing this too? And she's like, yeah, what the hell is this? And then we went driving another like 10 minutes and we see another little small light on the side of the road. It's this giant thing that looks almost like a spaceship. It is a huge like blimp with no window or anything in the front. It's lit up in the middle of the field. We're like, what the hell is that? So at the time, none of us had any idea. We had to get into town, which Marfa doesn't even have a stop sign or doesn't have a stoplight. It's just a stop sign. It's a one-way stop. And we stayed at the hotel that night, and I got on the internet. The Prada Marfa, as I said, was this weird German artist came out there in the middle of nowhere, like 15 years, and put that in there. And then that thing was a drug balloon that we saw that is on a tether, and it's a giant balloon that keeps a radar out for low flying planes that are coming in with bales of cocaine to make sure that it doesn't go across the border. So that's what that thing is. That's how close you are to the border.
Do you go here?
Because it's amazing looking and it's weird. It's like something out of a David Lynch movie. If a town was a David Lynch movie, this would be it. Like, we stay in a place that is all a bunch of like old trailers that they have converted into little hotel rooms. And in the middle of it, there's these like teepees and things. And there's these, put it this way. When we first went there last year, it was the first time we had gone there, at least with the kids. So we go there, and I didn't quite realize this, but, you know, this is a very strange. The hotel itself is strange. When you go into the gift shop, there it was a bunch of books that our children went and looked at. One was called The Post-Structuralist Vulva Coloring Book, which was nice. There were purses that just had women's breasts on them, which was obviously very interesting, and a bunch of very interesting patches that you could earn while staying there. So while we were there, I talked to the person. We told them we were going to go into Santa Fe after that. So we go to Santa Fe, right ahead to Santa Fe, and I said, you know, do you know everything to do there? And he goes, you got to do Meow Wolf.
What? Meow Wolf?
Excuse me, what? And he goes, Meow Wolf. And I said, well, what is that? And he goes, I'm not going to tell you, but the kids will love it. And I went, all right, dude. Cool beans. So I Google this thing, Meow Wolf, and all I see are these pictures that just don't make sense. It looks like some sort of house that's in the middle of a big building in the dark, and then there's strange walls that you can walk through, and I didn't really know what it was, but I did see in the reviews people were flipping out over it, saying this thing, Meow Wolf, was like you've never been to it before. Oh, and then I read that George R.R. Martin, the guy from who did Game of Thrones, like so liked the idea of what Meow Wolf was that was presented to him that he gave them $15 million to make this thing. So I'm like, I have no idea what it is. So yeah. We do a little research and we find out that, yeah, kids can go to this. It's obviously strange. And I'm like, all right, well, let's go. So it ends up being in this giant closed down like Walmart. And what happened was a bunch of these weird artists got together and said, we want to make what is basically what would happen if you went to Pee Wee's Playhouse and went on a bad acid trip. We ended up going to a place that was designed to either A, make you feel like you're on drugs, or B, for people who are currently on drugs to trip out and lose their minds. Bad trips or good trips. So we walk into this room. First of all, you give them your money, and then you go down this hallway, and it's complete darkness, and you open a door, and there is the outside of what looks like a house. You walk into the house and you're walking around. And then I saw somebody opening up the refrigerator and walk into the refrigerator. And then to my right, I see someone climb into the fireplace and disappear. And my kids happened to find a washing machine, which when they opened it up was this giant spiral thing that you slid into and you ended up into a portal that took you into what looked like a spaceship.
Really?
And from the spaceship, you went walking through, and then all of a sudden you were in a broken down trailer in the middle of the desert, which turned into a room that was spinning. When you opened a door, there were bodies flipping into nothingness. And every once in a while, you'd walk into a corner, and there would be somebody sitting by themselves in a room that was the size of a phone booth with a strobe light going off, touching the walls and speaking to it.
Good Lord.
It was essentially what happens when you make drugs legal and you say, here's a place for all of you to go. And I'm looking around thinking to myself,
stay away from drugs.
I went on, and this is where Josh is getting this on the screen.
Yeah.
I went on to the website, and I played this. Video does not do this justice, apparently.
It is a nightmare come true.
Wow.
In every way, shape, or form. Now, for me, I found it weird. Like it freaked my kids out to a point where my kids acted in a way I've never seen them act before. It's almost as if somebody pumped something into the air, and they flipped out. They weren't scared.
Yep.
They were just like, they looked like they were on coke. They're going, we gotta go this way. There's a tree right here with eyes on it. This room is spinning. They were geeking out to the point where I had to sit them down and make them chill out. Like, it's almost like it does an effect on you, and the reason it was designed was to make it seem like you felt like if you were on acid.
Whoa.
And it's this giant room, and it doesn't seem to end. You could spend 2 hours in there and find new weird rooms. You go underneath the bed, and the bed leads to a slide that ends up in the trunk of a tree, which turns into a room that is filled with strobe lights and a giant laughing face. It is the weirdest thing I've seen. And to be quite honest, when I left, I still don't know what the hell I saw.
Yeah.
2 hours later, it's called Meow Wolf, and I guess that they're talking about opening one
in Denver.
Yeah, in Denver, and then Vegas, there's going to open one too, and I guess in South by Southwest they just did this. But if there was one here, it's made for people who are either want to experience what it's like to be on drugs. It's as if you had a bad acid trip and went into Pee Wee's Playhouse. That's what it is. Or it is for people who are on drugs, because I ran into a couple of rooms by accident where there were just guys lying on the floor and petting the walls while the lights light. And people were wearing these glasses you could buy, too, that made the walls come alive, which was even more of a nightmare. Like, why would you possibly subject yourself to that if you were indeed really on drugs? And they have concerts there. Like decent artists, like decent sized artists will play concerts. But what happens is you have to find where they're playing.
That's the best. I love that idea.
You go in and it's like there's people walking into walls.
Hear it. Like, take the refrigerator and slide down the portal.
Dude, I'm not kidding you. You have to. It's like, that's right. Jump off the trampoline that puts you into a giant pit of eyeballs, and then slide down the tree with fingers. And there you go.
You get to see. Wear the glass.
Sure, and there you go. Yeah. Your Buckethead is playing for you.
It was
one of the strangest. But the guy George R. R. Martin thought it was all these people came to him with this idea, and he's like, "It's so whacked out. I'm going to give you $15 million just to see if you can do it." But if they put one in Alston, oh man, intern Nick, I found a new spot for you, Nick. That's called intern Nick date night.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll post more pictures, but even the pictures don't do it justice. Now I know what it's like to take bad acid.
Go to the website.
It doesn't even do it justice. It is.
How are the kids? Are they okay?
They geeked out. Like,
how are they now? Are they all right?
They're great. It was their favorite thing on the trip. We did like a lot of weird stuff, but they were like, "I gotta go to this." It was like the strangest reaction.
No nightmares?
Oh, when they leave, there's like a crash. Because it's so much stimulus, and it's kind of scary at the same time, and it's always freaky. But then they want to, like, you know, do it more. Oh, man. Very strange. As I said, that is a Nick Jamelli dream come true. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.